I'd like this morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. In verse 3, Jesus is seen leaving Judea for Galilee. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. On his way to Galilee, we read in verse 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. It was while in Sychar, a city of Samaria, that one of the most remarkable and instructive incidents in the ministry of Christ would take place. From verse 43, we learn that Jesus spent 2 days in Samaria. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. He would continue his journey to Galilee. When he arrived in Galilee, he would heal a nobleman's son, we read toward the end of John chapter 4. The bulk of this chapter, through verse 42, is the record of what took place in Samaria. In verses 6 through verse 28, we have the God-inspired description of an encounter and conversation that took place between Jesus and a particular woman of Samaria. This took place at Jacob's well. We're not going to read those verses for time's sake. We will be referring to them. But what we read there in verses 6 through 28 is much more than a mere encounter or a mere conversation. It is the record of Jesus saving the soul of this woman of Samaria. What we read in those verses is one of the many examples throughout the Word of God of the amazing grace of God. What we read there is an example of the absolute sovereignty of God in the saving of sinners. What we read there is just another example of Christ's willingness to receive sinners to himself. And what a change that he will make in the sinner's life. Really, what we read in those verses is a very vivid illustration of the truth that is declared in Isaiah 65 and 1, which says, I am found of them that sought me not. Certainly that is clearly illustrated in John chapter 4. Following this Samaritan woman's experience at the well, she would go into the city. She would testify what she had experienced at the well. While that was going on, we see that Jesus entered into a conversation with his apostles about how the spiritual is to have precedence over the temporal. And we see that in verses 31 through verse 38. And then we read in verses 39 through 42 the effect of what happened at Jacob's well between Christ and this woman of Samaria, the effect that it had upon Samaria, and how that many were saved. We would like this morning to read verses 26 through verse 29. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man, that is, none of the disciples, said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We want to center our thoughts this morning, and we've preached upon this subject before, but we want to center our thoughts this morning around the detail that is recorded in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. Why in this entire scenario do we find such a statement? The woman then left her water pot. I believe that this is a very significant and essential feature to what has transpired at that well. The woman then left her water pot. Because of the times and place in which you and I live, and due to our culture, we are likely to view such a detail as very trivial. And we are likely to pass over it without much thought, without giving it much consideration. But if we could just for a moment place ourselves in Bible times, we would see that this is a remarkable statement. This is a very significant detail. The woman then left her water pot. Now, in Bible days, the water pot was extremely valuable. Water was the very fabric of life, the basic liquid in cooking. You had to have water. And in those days, someone had to carry it to the house. So the water pot was absolutely essential for survival. You could not survive without one. The woman then left her water pot. The thought of such a valuable tool being left at a well would be more than a little odd. I mean, if you were to approach a well back in those days and there's a water pot, you look around. Nobody's around. It'd be very odd. It'd be like going to McDonald's and there's a car parked in the drive-thru and nobody's in it. You'd think, something's happened. Nobody would just leave their car there. Something must be wrong. Something has happened. And that is what you would think if you came to a well and saw a water pot just sitting there. You would immediately assume something has happened. Maybe a crime has taken place. But something has definitely happened. You just do not leave a usable water pot at a well. You just don't do that. You don't just park your car in the middle of Route 75. You just don't do that. If you see a parked car in the middle of the expressway, something is wrong. Something has happened. It's odd. And so it is with this water pot. Because such a tool, such a thing as a water pot is too valuable and too hard to come by just to leave it. But we read, the woman then left her water pot. So there it is, a very usable
water pot. There's nothing wrong with it. There it is at the well. Something is out of the ordinary. Something has happened. And what has happened is a miracle of God. What has happened is a miracle that surpasses all miracles. The woman then left her water pot. Something of great magnitude has happened. Something very astounding has happened. What has caused someone to just leave their water pot? Well, something amazing did happen. This woman met Jesus that day, and he saved her soul. And then the woman left her water pot. I want to speak this morning on she left her water pot. We want to see what happened at the well that day that led to this. The woman then left her water pot. Then we want to consider why. Why did she leave her water pot? And in the message, there is application to both the unsaved and the saved. First of all, let's consider what happened at the well that day. There's record of Jesus coming to Samaria. Again, we read in verse 3 that he left Galilee, or he left Judea to head to Galilee. It is added in verse 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. That needs be was not a geographical one. The truth is there were two routes from Judea to Galilee, and the most direct route was indeed through Samaria. And then there was another route, which was a bypass around Samaria. And that bypass around Samaria was the route that the stricter Jew would take. It would be the route that they were accustomed to taking, even though it was a little longer. And the reason they desired to bypass Samaria was because there was a bitter hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. And there was basically two primary reasons for this hatred. The Samaritans were half Jews. That is, they were a mixed breed as the result of the Jews being taken into Assyrian captivity back in the Old Testament. And the result of that was that there were interracial marriages that took place. So the Samaritans were considered a bunch of half-breeds, and the Jews hated them. Another reason for their hatred is the Samaritans were guilty of revising history. And they built a rival temple at Jerusalem. And for these reasons, the Jews hated the Samaritans and they would bypass Samaria. But we read that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. The reason, there were those in Samaria whom the Father had given to Jesus Christ to save. And I am glad that there was a needs be that Jesus come to where I was. And that was the case here in John chapter 4. We read in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. We are told in verse 6 that Jacob's well was there, and that Jesus was weary with his journey, and he sat on the well. From verse 8, we learn that Jesus sent his disciples into the city to get food. Now, I believe all of this was done. You say, well, he sent the disciples into the city to get food because he was hungry. That's not the real reason. Because when the disciples returned, Jesus didn't eat what they brought back. So that wasn't the real reason. The reason Jesus sent the disciples away is because he was making arrangements for a one-on-one meeting with a woman of Samaria. And I'm glad that God made arrangements for such a meeting with me. We read in verse 6 that it was about the sixth hour, noon. Why are we told that? There sits the one and only Savior of sinners. He's at a particular place. He's there at a particular time. He's there for a particular purpose. And he's there for a particular person. So there he is about noon, sitting at this well. Then there is record of a certain woman of Samaria coming to where Jesus is. We read in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria. Here she comes. And her coming is the reason why he's there. She came to this particular well at noon. This was not the usual time that the women would draw water. From the Old Testament, we see that they would draw water in the cooler evening hours. This was not the particular time that they would normally come. Another thing is, she was alone, which also was not the usual custom. The question then is asked, and you can pick up a commentary, and it's almost unbelievable. But the question is asked, why did she come at noon? And why was she alone? And the reasons given for such, again, are almost unbelievable. But the reason she came at noon, and the reason she came alone, is a God reason. This was the appointed time and place for her to meet Christ. For her to meet Christ one on one. She came at noon because that was God's purpose. She came alone because that was God's purpose. I want to say this might have been the only day in her life that she came at noon. This might have been the only day in her life that she came alone. But it was all for a God reason. This meeting between Jesus and this Samaritan was not a chance meeting. And it was not just some lucky break. It was God's eternal purpose. The truth is, you and I that are saved would have never come to Christ had not God appointed it all, had he not made all the arrangements. So there cometh a woman of Samaria. Here she comes. She's a sinner. She's unrighteous. She's guilty. She's ungodly. She's a rebel against God. She is worldly and sensually minded. She's stuck in a religion, as made clear in John 4, 23 and 24. She's loaded down with hostility. She's a Samaritan. She's loaded down with sin and shame. There cometh a woman of Samaria. As you read the account and the fact that she had five husbands, she has lived a very disappointing life. No doubt she's discouraged, and certainly she is disillusioned. And here she comes. She's a desperately needy soul. She comes needing the life that only Jesus can give. She comes needing the pardon and the justification and the cleansing, the reconciliation that only Jesus can give. But that's not the reason that she's coming to that well. Notice verse 7 again. John 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria. What was the reason for coming? To draw water. To draw water. So here she is, a woman of ill repute, carrying a water pot to Jacob's well, with the intent of taking water back home for drinking and cooking. To draw water was her objective. To draw water was her focus. She thought, she did not think of anything else. This was her objective. I'm going to the well to draw water. There is also a record of a conversation that took place between Jesus and this woman. By God's design, Christ and this woman of Samaria are now at the same place. But they're there for two entirely different reasons. He is there to save her soul. He knows everything about her. That is the reason he is there. Why is she there? To draw water. So they both have their purposes. Which purpose will come to fruition? Which purpose will come to fruition? Well, as you read on, you see that Christ initiated a conversation with her. Verse 7. Jesus saith unto her. He initiated the conversation. There would have been no conversation had he not done so. Give me to drink. He spoke first. Had he not done so, the woman would have never acknowledged his presence. She would have drawn the water, and she would have been on her way, never knowing who was that man at the well. She would have never known. Had he not initiated this conversation. Go back to when you were saved. When the Lord saved your soul, who started the chain of events? God did. Notice Christ not only spoke first, he called her attention to himself. Give me to drink. Give me. The request of Jesus surprised this woman. This is obvious from verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew? You say, well, how did she know that he was a Jew? Well, either by his dress or by his speech. She knew that he was a Jew. And she thought it very, very odd that a Jew would ask a favor of a Samaritan. The truth is, she was blind to who he was. In her mind at this point, all she sees is a Jew. That's all she sees. Christ then addressed her blindness and ignorance and spoke of eternal blessings. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest," implying that you're ignorant, "if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee," she is ignorant of two things. She is ignorant of the gift of God, and she is ignorant of who it is that is speaking to her. After Jesus says what he says in verse 10, in verses 11 and 12, we'll not read those verses, but basically she began to boast about Jacob's well. And in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," no doubt pointing to the well that she just boasted about, "shall thirst again." He was now telling her the utter vanity of earthly things in regard to salvation. In verse 14, he declared where real satisfaction of soul is found. In verse 15, she manifests that she does not understand what he's saying. The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." The only thing she has on her mind is, "Wow, this would be great. This man can give me relief from daily toil. I would never have to carry this water pot again. I would never have to come to this well again. Give me of this water." She is completely ignorant what he's talking about. She has no idea. And as the conversation goes on, in verses 16 through 18, Jesus confronts her sin. Confronts her sin. She is a woman with a tainted life. She is a Samaritan woman with a future void of hope. She does what almost everybody does when they are confronted with their sin. She appealed to her religion. She appealed to her worship. And in verses 21 through 24, verses we've been looking at for several months on Wednesday nights, he took away any hope that she had in religion. Then, after all of that is done, and again, we could go into much more detail. After all that is done, Jesus revealed himself to her. Verse 26, Jesus said unto her, she had said in verse 25 that she knew some things about Christ, you know, how the Old Testament promised that he would come. Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am." And every time in the Gospels, when Jesus declared himself as am, it was a revealing of himself. Right then and there, she's no longer just sees a Jew. She sees Jesus. She sees Jesus in his majesty. She sees Jesus in his splendor and in his glory. Up until this point, the only thing she saw was a Jew. Up to this point, she saw no beauty in him. But now, she sees Jesus. She sees Jesus just as he is, the Son of God. And I believe that it was at that very moment that Jesus saved her soul. And then we read that statement. The disciples then came, they returned. Remember, Jesus had sent them away. Isn't it amazing? When they returned, after the conversation was all over, why did it take so long? The Lord made all the arrangements. It's wonderful to just watch the Lord work. Verse 26, the disciples come, and some commentaries suggest that the reason she left her water pot, the disciples scared her. You got to almost be nuts to believe that. Then she left her water pot. Why? Why? Remember, back in verse 7, she had come there to draw water. I don't believe she ever did draw water. I believe the water pot's empty. But due to what happened at the well, she left her water pot. We need to realize this. Though she left her water pot, she did not go away empty. She left her water pot, but within her was what Jesus spoke of in verse 14. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. She came to the well feeling the drudgery of daily chores, burdened down with life. But she had a meeting. She had a meeting with Jesus Christ. She had a personal experience of His saving power. She had a clear perception of His person. He was revealed to her. He was made known to her. And He was received by her. And all of her sins have been forgiven. All of her burdens have been lifted. Her life has been liberated. She has found a love like none other. She has personally met and experienced the very Son of God. And then we read, she left her water pot. Many have said she simply forgot the water pot. I believe that she deliberately left the water pot. It says that she left her water pot and went her way into the city. That's what she had originally planned to do, come, get water, go back to the city. But she's going back to the city, but she doesn't have her water pot. And she gets to the city and she says, come, see a man. And all we need to just, in our imagination, picture her. Picture the animation upon her face. Picture the excitement in her voice. Come see a man. Her mind is no longer. As soon as Jesus revealed Himself, her mind is no longer on the temporalities of daily life, such as water pots. She is absolutely captivated. Her mind is fully absorbed with Christ. She left her water pot. Why? A radical change has taken place in her life. There has been a change in her plans. She came to draw water, to return home to her daily routine. But when she met Jesus that day, all of her plans had been changed. She left her water pot because her plans have been changed. Her values have been changed. Before this, she would have never left that water pot. It was too valuable. But her values have been changed. Her outlook upon water pots has been changed. When she came to that well with that water pot, what was her main interest at that time? Drawing water. Her main interest has now changed. She met Jesus, and her main interest has been changed. When she came to that well, what was it that mattered in her life at that time? Drawing water. But she didn't draw water. She left her water pot and went away. There was a change in what matters in her life. You better be a little leery of folks who have a salvation that did not change their plans. Folks that have a salvation that did not change their values. Folks that have a salvation that did not change their main interests. And what really matters? I'm sorry, but I don't think they got it. She got it. And there was a radical change. What was her priority when she came to that well? To draw water. But her priorities have been changed. Now, we're not foolish enough to believe that she left her water pot permanently. She said, come see a man. She was going back. But the water pot's not what was on her mind. What was on her mind? Come see a man. Come see Christ. So she didn't leave her water pot permanently. After we're saved, life has to go on. There are earthly duties, but the relative position of the water pot has changed. And that's true when a soul is saved. The relative position of earthly duties has changed. The water pot was not as important as it once was. And that is true when the Lord saves a soul. Those earthly duties, those earthly chores are not as important as they once were. Still have to be done. But there's been a change in position. She left her water pot. There's been a change in the central control of her life. Her life is no longer dominated by the temporal, by the mundane, and the ordinary. And I believe that is brought out when the disciples returned to the well. The conversation that they had, remember they were sent to buy food. And in verse 32, or verse 31, in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed to him, saying, Master, eat. We have temporal food here for you. And I believe what Jesus taught them explains why she left the water pot. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have something to sustain me that you know not of. Verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. She left her water pot because she had another meat. Something else was sustaining her. Another reason I believe she left her water pot. And again, I believe she deliberately left it there. She's going to go back into the city. She can't wait to tell people what has happened. And to be carrying a water pot on your head, that's going to slow you down. She didn't want anything to hinder her. She didn't want anything to slow her down. So she left her water pot. She went into the city and said, "Come, see a man." Now there is a lesson here concerning our daily lives as God's people. The water pot speaks of our daily worldly chores. We all have them. Our daily worldly responsibilities and duties. She left her water pot. Does that mean we're to forsake our worldly chores and responsibilities and duties? Of course not. That would go contrary to much of the Word of God. That's not what we're saying. But you and I have this awful tendency to get bogged down with water pots. We have this destructive, and it is destructive, this destructive tendency to allow water pots to get in the way of service to the Lord. We have this enslaving tendency to allow the water pots to dominate and to control our lives. We need to ask ourselves, what is it that governs my life? Water pots or Christ? What is it that determines how I live? Water pots or Christ? The reason that this woman left her water pot was because springing up in her was a well of life. And that spring of water in her filled her with excitement, passion, causing her to go into the city without her water pot, shouting, "Come, come see a man." Again, Christ has captivated her heart and mind. Her life is now being lived not in relation to water pots. Her life is being lived in relation to Christ. Again, we all have water pots. Can't get through life without them. They're necessary. But what is it? How do we live our life? Do we live our life in relation to the water pot? Or do we live our life in relation to that well that's springing up within us? You see, many of God's people are like this Samaritan woman. They're carrying their water pot to draw water from the well. They're burdened. They're weighted down with the temporal. Their lives are being controlled and dominated by water pots. And though we can't avoid the water pots, I do believe we can control or avoid being weighted down and burdened with them. I believe we can keep from being controlled and dominated by water pots. I'll tell you right now in plain English, if your life is dominated and controlled by water pots, you're not right with God. You're not right with the Lord. You're not living right. But all that can be avoided. How? You see, the excitement and the passion for Christ that this woman received can be restored. How did we first get that excitement? How did we first get that passion? It was by meeting and experiencing Jesus. How do we get it back? Same way. Same way. Every single day. Jesus is sitting somewhere. Here it was Jacob's well. Every single day, he's somewhere. And I can meet with him. And when I meet with him, I can converse with him. And if you converse long enough, you say, well, I don't have time. You better make time. If you converse long enough, eventually Jesus will say, I am. He'll reveal himself. And you too will leave the water pot. That is, the position of the water pot changes. Yes, you still have to get water. You still have to go with your daily chores. But everything's changed. The water pot no longer dominates. Christ dominates. I believe that's the lesson for every child of God in the water pot. Of course, to the unsaved, just as this woman met Jesus, and she didn't receive a salvation that was just added to her life. She received a salvation that changed her life. Unsaved sinner, that's what you need. You need a meeting with Jesus. A salvation that will change your life. Your plans. Your priorities. Your values. Your interest. And what really matters. That is a salvation that every sinner needs. It's only found in Christ. And may I say that it is not a salvation that you can plan for. This woman didn't plan it. It just happened. And we pray. We're not going to lead you to say a prayer. But we pray that wherever you are, Jesus comes into your life. Interrupts your life. Reveals your sin, as he did with this woman. Takes away all your false refuges and hopes, just as he did with this woman. And then after he's done all that, he leaves you completely hopeless, and then he reveals himself. I'm Jesus. I'm the one you need. Oh, if you're here and lost today, we pray that that would happen. That would happen in your life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's